Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Chair, get your fluffiest pillow.
Where are your slippers? What are you wearing?
Call the dog into the room. Write us a letter. Tell us what you're wearing.
And it better be something loungy.
It better be silks. Get your finest silks in here. This is Off Book, the Improvised Musical Podcast, Lounge January, Episode 2.
Lounge January.
That one is Jess McKenna.
That lounge lizard over there is Zach Reno.
I want to go again. That lounge... lava lamp is Jessica McKenna.
A bloop, a bloop. Did you sell enough magazines in seventh grade to earn me as a prize?
You know, there were.
Yes, I did.
Scott says he did.
I'm so not used to this. I just nodded like I don't have a microphone, but I think I do.
You do have a microphone. That voice that you're hearing right there, hey, that's Scott Passarella, King of Pianists, Pianist of Kings.
I'm in loungewear and a beanbag chair.
And he's on a microphone. Will, I was a lounge lizard. You're a lounge lava lamp. Scott is a lounge...
Lounge llama.
A lounge llama. A lounge llama with a lavalier microphone.
If you invented a lounge lavalier in which you could, like, loosely hang out and not have a crackling sound on your microphone, you'd make millions of dollars. Just saying.
That would be great. Yeah,
please call to fan art. Call to fan art.
We're having trouble getting down to business because we are in a lounge right now. But just a quick reminder for anyone, Jess is fully reclined on a couch in her living room. Just for a quick reminder, this is Off Book. We have just gone independent. We're launching our full independent. Ooh, I'm really hearing that pop now that I took this microphone away so I can be close to it. Anyway, our full independent launch is happening at the beginning of February. So for the rest of January, this is Lounge January, where we hang out and we use vibes like that.
I will say, Zach, we've been on a journey where forever I say, and Zach is quiet for some reason. I really think your pop filter just makes you so much quiet. I think you can maybe just scoot it.
Try a small scoot. How's that?
And now say something with, do a Peter Piper picked a peck of...
Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers.
It's still pretty poppy.
Going to sound poppy, you guys. There's nothing to be done about it.
I have a pop tone.
Right?
He's a poppy boy.
I'm a poppy boy. I'm a poppy poppy.
I'm not going to lie to you both. I've been watching the Trolls show for, I think, like 9 straight months show, like with my kid. And I just realized that the lead is named Poppy because... They're pop trolls.
Because he's into pop.
Took me this long.
How's this in terms of being quiet? Is this
That's
still...
great.
I like it.
I'm just going to get up on it then. That's a fun show. I think of it as the show that I've done 1 million voiceover auditions for and never booked. the troll
do you know,
show.
I started, I had my very first video game job last year for VO, and I'm like, never going to do that again because you don't get any residuals.
Oh, right. It's just a full buyout.
Yeah. And I was like, Wait, I thought we fixed that because I remember SAG went on strike about that a few years ago.
Do not do video games. Yeah.
And so I thought, oh, it's not as good a residuals as TV and radio and things, but it's like there's some.
There's actually not.
And in my 8 years of having a voiceover agent, I do like thousands of auditions a year.
Yeah.
And I usually skip over video. I don't do them all because sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't think
because there's thousands of them.
Because there's thousands of them. And now I'm like, it's going to be a hard no from me on all video games.
On all video games, because that's not money that's worth it. Question, is your NDA lifted? Can you say what game it is or not yet?
Oh, I think I can.
Okay.
I think I got an email that was like...
I'll bleep this if it turns out later that I can.
I'm a standard young teenage-ish boy in the Fallout edition.
Whoa.
Nice.
Wait.
The Fallout edition?
Well, it's a download extension.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
The Fallout expansion.
Expansion, thank
okay.
you.
Okay.
Okay.
It's not like a full, like, it's not like Fallout 7 or whatever. It's for an expansion sure. on the current.
On whatever Fallout it is. I just really wanted, and the thing that was tickling me, and I think also Scott, is that I want to play Fallout Edition.
Right, the way it was intended Fallout. To be played, yeah.
So this is our mailbag episode where mail person Stacy actually collected a bunch of... mails from you that you sent the mails on the internet and they got them and they brought them to us. So thank you so much for sending them. A couple of new house rules that I'm putting in place in terms of the mail bag. We're not going to say your last names because we didn't tell you we were going to say your last names or not. So if you want us to say your last name in the future, let us know. For now, we're not going to do it. And the only other rule is let's just have fun out there.
You know, let's just have fun out there.
I don't know that we're going to get to them all, but the ones that we don't, we'll still have. And thank you for your question. Oh, the other thing is we will probably skip over the nice compliments that you wrote us in the emails. We'll probably just get to the actual questions. Jess is going to read the compliments.
You heard it here first. Zacharino never reads your comments, never reads the compliments, just skips them over.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm skipping them over on my voice, not in my heart.
I'm going to cement you two as a negative presence, even though it doesn't serve you well in any way.
That's true. I mean, I am, I think, classically a negative presence towards you, Scott, in terms of like our band dynamic.
We have worked out a real antagonist like dynamic, which is absolutely unfounded. I love Zach and Jess so very much.
I love Scott too, but he does fuck up our recording all the time.
I mean, I'm doing it on purpose, but you know, don't tell them.
We're happy to have you on mic today, Scott.
I'm delighted and honored to sit amongst you. Thank you.
This is so fun. I'm so excited to answer some of these questions.
Me too. Let's start with one of the first questions.
Great. This question comes to us from Laura.
Thanks, Laura.
So excited you're doing a mailbag episode. I'm a huge fan of the pod, so I'm supposed to skip this. And you both. Oh my gosh, this is so sweet. And I'm curious as to who your biggest influences are, comedy, music, improv. Also, what do each of you consider to be the funniest episode of Off Book you've ever done?
Now, I'm going to tell you right now, Laura, that last question is basically impossible to answer. I have some faves, but we've done 184 of these, and that's just the ones that we've recorded. So, like...
I remember breaking maybe Taco Bell in terms of like I really
on stage one with like, Gabrus and Betsy.
Yeah, I really like broke and laughed so much. I think the other Gabrus episode really broke me, and then the Taryn Killam. I don't know if I actually think it's the funniest, or if I was just so satisfied by Beans, Kippers, and Mash and how it like played.
Oh, man, I love Beans, Kippers, and Mash. I will say there is something about being in a live show,
yeah,
where it feels like you're laughing along with the audience as opposed to just in a room with five people and like, is this funny? I think maybe it is.
It's easier to remember if they're funny because you have people there saying it is funny with their laughs. So I think there might be funnier episodes, but I can't remember them because there were no external forces telling me that it was funny.
Yeah,
I will tell you that we did. There is a scene in the episode with and this is just one that I'm remembering recently with Nick Weiger and Heather Campbell, where there's like a bomb and we were trying to get it like off of a helicopter and characters kept bringing it back onto the helicopter.
Yes.
And I thought that was very funny. I don't know what my funniest episode is. I do
I mean, I think this largely depends on, like, again, as Jess said, like, what can you remember? And my answer is, like, I don't know what the funniest is. I know a moment I remember of the 200-plus episodes where I will be honest, am never fully paying attention to the dialogue and lyrics as much as the music. So
how could you?
The funniest notes you guys have ever sung.
Okay.
Jess, you had this E-flat in this song that was in G minor that was such a good tempo, and it was such a funny swing.
That's a mystery. You don't really expect that.
No, that was a move and a half, man.
Thank you so much. And I just appreciate the game recognized game of that compliment.
Word. And Zach, just I have to say, like, your vibrato variations, you know the ones. Come on.
Oh, yeah, the funny ones.
That was a really funny choice every time. I loved it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, the others have this question, who are your biggest influences for comedy, music, improv? Okay, well, there's the obvious ones for me, which are Weird Al, Lonely Island, Tenacious D, and South Park are sort of the pillars of my weirdly musical. And when I'm talking South Park, I'm talking specifically about South Park, the musical, Bigger, Longer, Uncut, which is I have very sort of visceral memories of watching with my dad when I was like probably too young to watch this thing. And just remember, like, I laughed harder at the opening number of that, or no, sorry, the second number that the Canadians sing called Uncle Fuck. This show would be very different if I had recorded it when I was 13. I would like to think that my comic sensibility has changed somewhat, but it would be a lie to say that wasn't huge. And Tenacious D is sort of the logical extension of that. Man, Jack Black's voice. We talk about this all the time. The dude can sing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe my favorite voice on the planet.
As you're saying this, I'm realizing I don't think that I'm that influenced or inspired by other musical comedy as much as I am music and comedy.
Yeah.
So I think comedy wise, nothing bigger than The Simpsons. And I think music wise, I think I'm like chasing the lyrical complexities of Sondheim, which I'll obviously never do, improvised or none. But I think I like Sondheim musicals the best. And so it's like if The Simpsons and Sondheim made.
That's Jessica.
That's
wow.
Me. Two Jessica, genius Jessica,
Jessica
properties.
Jessica is the Simpsons Sondheim of
Jessica
musical
is
improvised.
Two things that are seminal and beloved and thought of as incredible. And
whereas
yeah,
I
she
am
stands
the,
by it.
I am the musical Kiss of the Spider-Woman and the TV show How I Met Your Mother, both of which are fine.
No, I think it's cool that you have music comedy influences.
But
I don't think I do as much.
As you were saying that, they're like, these are,
well,
I truly
like
don't know if they influence my musical comedy, though.
I mean,
those
I
are just
like
things that I like listen
there's
to.
There's a difference, too, between like who influenced you, which is not something you really choose, versus like who you want to say that you emulate, which is always what this question really is. Because if you ask me that, my answer is my influence is the cartoon
me.
Puff the Magic
me.
Dragon, in which little Jackie Paper and Zach Reno, he plays piano in a big concert hall. And when I was 5, I was like, that's why I want to play piano, so I can play piano in a
aww,
big concert hall.
Little
so,
Jackie Scott.
Yeah, little Jackie Scott, as you can
not
now.
Not Scotty Paper.
No,
yeah. Little Jackie Piano Scott.
I remember the first time I saw Scott as someone's last name, and it blew my mind, the concept that I could have been named Scott, and
I have the reverse,
not.
Which is young girls named McKenna.
That's got to be weird. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
And I have that with the city of Reno, Nevada.
You sure do.
Wrong.
Okay, thank you.
I just want to be included so bad. Thank you,
thank
Laura.
Thank you, Laura. Maybe we'll roto all. Also, or you know, maybe we'll just only get to 3 questions.
Yeah, no, we'll row two. I'll do new. I'm gonna jump ahead a little bit in the list. We'll go back in list, but I just want, in terms of content, this question comes from Robert. Thank you, Robert. If you woke up tomorrow next to an exact clone of yourself, would your life become easier or more difficult? Now, I think this question, there's the obvious answer, and then there's the deep dive. I think the answer is more difficult, immediately more difficult.
Yeah.
But I think it's easier depending on how young you are when you get the clone. Like another clone me popping into my adult life is significantly more complicated than a clone 4-year-old me popping up. Does that make sense?
I think the real line is, do you have a relationship? Because if you don't have a relationship and you're fancy free, I don't think a double's quite as problematic. But then you've got a real issue to discuss.
Yeah, because like I'm married. So what do I do with this other me that also thinks he's married?
Yeah.
Who is married? Because he's an exact clone.
And do we share a consciousness? Because I'd be like, one of us take care, like, I'm going to go, one of me is going to go live in Ireland and one of me is going to keep hustling here, but I'd like for us to share.
To share it all, but I think that's not clones, right?
Right.
That's Dr. Manhattan.
Well, get me some of that. Because yeah, that.
So the answer to your question, Robert, is we want neither. We want to be Dr. Manhattan.
I'd like to be Dr. Manhattan. I don't know what that is, but I'd like that. And yeah, I don't think, I think it would make my life harder. I mean.
Who watches The Watchmen? Not Jessica McKenna.
No.
Seen Watchmen.
No, she doesn't. Sorry. So sorry.
That's okay.
That's a great question. I love that question.
I love that question, but I don't know what to do with my clone who has all of my thoughts, but I'm not privy to them.
I mean, actually, I would say like if that happened to me and I was the clone who'd woke up, I'd be like, so who's on the night shift? Like, I'd actually be cool with it, I think. I would work it out. Because I know
me. I
think
the fact that you would be able to use a clone to help take care of a small child is helpful.
Yeah.
I think especially during quarantine times, I don't have enough that I'm like juggling that requires like scheduling. It's more just about mental capacity is my only juggling. So it's a little more like, yeah, I don't know what I'd do with this clone.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Offbook's going to have a lot more harmonies when we all
that's
wake up
true.
With clones.
Now, that's true. And for that reason, it might be worth it. It also might be fun to just see if I could make one of my selves try to get really jacked. If I was like, actually, all you have to do is DS.
Oh.
So then I could see what our ceiling is. Because sometimes I'm like, maybe I'm just not even designed to be a jacked person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I spent a year trying to do a single pull-up. But maybe if a clone me, I was like, all you do is try to do a pull-up.
Yeah, I like multiplicity Jessica much better, where there's like different versions of you.
That's a great question. Let's do another one.
Let's do another question. This one's from Michael. Michael and Matt basically asked the same question, if you want to read those, Jess.
Hi, Michael and Matt. My question for you is this. What do Jess, Zach, and the Offbook Orchestra do during intermission? While we're learning about promo codes for websites and mattresses, are they drinking water, sharing secrets, calling their parents, ordering food, doing last-minute rewrites of Act 2? Or do they momentarily cease to exist? What a quandary. Thank you for all you do, Stacy. Thank you for the shout-out to Stacy. And then, yes, Matt asked us basically the same question. I will give... we cease to exist, huh? I'll give the truthful answer, which is if it's a guestless episode, we probably take no time at all. Potentially someone needs to get a drink of water or go to the bathroom. If we have a guest, we do usually take a longer break there to sort of encourage the guest, tell them they're doing great, maybe clarify some things for the guest, say like, hey, that was awesome. So we have so far Jeremy, Todd, and Lincoln are all Zach's character. Well, like,
we will. It's truly like, here are the names of the
yes.
people that we have come up with. But that's basically it.
Yeah, we don't take much of a break unless someone needs it. And those breaks are different if there's a guest there.
Mm-hmm.
Or
unless the whole system has crashed and burned and we have to come
that's
back
true.
Like 2 days
in quarantine
later.
Quarantine, oftentimes we take this to do a full reset because the
something
internet...
Something has broken. That's
yeah.
very true. That's a great question, though.
Here's one from Danny. Danny asks, from the live shows I've listened to, you guys
this
usually open
laugh.
It by saying that when musical improv is bad, it's really bad. I believe we have said that multiple times. Would you be willing to share one of the live improv experiences you had where things just didn't go the way you wanted? Have you ever been able to really turn a show around when it started out poorly?
That's a great question. We've both been a part of some truly stink bombs, but I think like more so for maybe just some like more like just mediocre shows.
The thing is that by the time that Jess and I started doing Offbook, we had done hundreds and hundreds of improv shows in other capacities. And I think that the more you do shows, the way lower your capacity to like fully bomb goes down. I'm trying to think of the last time it was like a full, like nothing redeemable. I felt awful about it.
Yeah, that's hard to remember. I feel like sometimes it's maybe like if there was a small house And so you're not getting the energy, or like, I feel like when Baby Wants Candy first started doing more regular shows at Sunset, maybe our houses weren't that great because we were Friday and we were more expensive. And it would be, sometimes you just didn't have that energy. And so you'd feel, and if you got like a weird title that was hard to navigate, you'd be like, this feels like we're pushing something up a hill.
But I will say, and this is a little bit, this is rude of me, but I'm going to say it anyway. When we say that at the beginning of the show, we are generally not talking about shows that we have done. We are talking about we are talking about musical improv that we have watched other people do.
Oh my gosh, that is a little rude.
No,
a little
you can rude say it, because that was the words that were going to come out of my mouth, Zach, was that I was going to clarify, listeners at home, a lot of the shows they are talking about, they are not necessarily participants in, but these will still be musical improv shows, quote unquote.
That is... my gosh, you two are two rude dudes right now.
I'm a rude dude. And let me secondarily say, I teach a lot of people who are new at this. And so, like, it would be wild if they were not doing shows that were, like, basically people working through stuff on its feet. That's what practice is literally for.
I would say that since the two of you have done so much more, like, coaching and accompanying for a variety of teams in, like, the process of their development, you have seen also... way more bad musical improv.
I will say yes. I have seen.
I've seen way less because I don't watch it.
No, yeah, and you know what? Good on you. You're not missing anything other than some people beginning are actually really good for beginning, and then some people who've been doing it for a long time are actually not very good for how long they've been doing it, and that is how it goes.
Well, it's also one of those things that once it's something you've dedicated a ton of time to, and you've invested a lot of work and effort, you can see through stuff so quickly. I mean, I remember even my voice teacher growing up was like, it's hard for me to listen to singers because all I can hear is like how they're not breathing right. So it is one of those things of like the more expert you become at something, the closer to expertise you become, the less it's not as easy to enjoy someone who's just trying. And I think because we know my pet peeve is meandering songs. That's the one that like gets me like hot under the collar.
That gets me angering.
Yeah, it's me angering.
Very good. They can't decide the songs that can't decide sort of like what they're about and keep changing and what. Now I will say
abandon structure.
That we could do one of those right now that would be fun because we're fun. I think we should do one right now.
Great. About a kite is that it has a tail, and other things have tails, like animals and coins, but I'm not talking about that. I'll never return to that observation.
Would you like to buy a kite from me? It is $550, and I also accept euros and francs, because I'm French.
Hey, wait.
Yes?
Why do you accept francs? That's not a currency anymore.
I accept francs because I collect things from the time before, and my bank is a French bank that weirdly does accept francs. Are francs a French currency, or am I wrong?
No, they are. They just now only use the euro.
The euro.
The euro.
In the European Union, they use
the euro. The euro. But don't make that a chorus, so we're just two kite salespeople, and it's a windy day.
Hold on, you were talking about animals with tails.
But I didn't say I would never return to that. Okay, good. I guess we disagree.
Kangaroos, kinkajous, Komodo dragons,
tie my shoe, but if I tie my shoe, will this guy collect me too? Why does he collect things from the past? Is that something that will last? Will he collect me too? Because my store is closing, and that's why I'm invested in selling this kite.
What's your store? Does your store sell kites, or is it a different kind of store?
It sells all kinds of things with tails, but I won't talk about the other things with tails.
But I will. They are the world's largest rodent. What?
Oh no, I'm realizing that the wind stopped blowing.
Oh no,
the wind stopped blowing. So now we're both out of business.
And that's the kind of song Jessica hates.
We're going to get people being like, do more songs like that.
Too bad. We won't.
No, I mean, they can be funny, but they take like, sure. And they can be fun. But especially when you're trying to hook in with other people, it's like, oh, that can be really hard.
Yeah, they can be dangerous to a plot also.
Yeah, they're really dangerous to a plot because they take up time and don't do anything.
Oh, and my favorite part of all of those is as an accompanist sitting back and going like, what did you just say? I'm sorry, I wasn't fully paying attention. Is that really, really important? Oh, God help me. It's very scary for me to listen to.
Yeah, it's hard for the accompanist too because they can't hook into like, oh, okay, we're building. And this is how you get into shows where you have songs that are like 8 minutes
no,
and accomplish
man.
Nothing.
I need like, that you have your mind set on you, or like, you know, Viva la Resistance. Like, one concept is good for me for 3 minutes. That's fine.
This is a great quick question from Craig.
Okay, Craig, what's up?
How often do you think about the moon?
Nightly, because every night when it gets dark, my daughter will turn to me and go, no moon, because the moon hasn't been out lately. And she is pissed about it. And she thinks it's my fault. She is mad at me because the moon is not out. I know it comes up like later, but I'm not keeping her up till like 11 or whenever it's coming out. So the answer is all the time.
I wink at the moon most times I see it because someone told me that that's what Lance Armstrong did.
Do you mean Neil Armstrong?
Cute.
I mean Neil Armstrong.
Because I don't mean
defamed cyclist Lance Armstrong.
I just like breezed over that because I'm trying to read ahead these questions. But I think about the moon. I think I like the moon a lot. I have my watch has a moon phase on it. But I don't want to go to the moon because I'm too scared of space. No, thank you.
Aliens specifically, yes.
Well, I'm scared of aliens, but I'm also scared of the void.
The void is big. Here's the thing about the void.
But I do like the moon and I like when it's full. And here's what I love about it. No matter how good our cameras get, we just cannot capture that bad boy.
No, it's too far. Here's a question for you. How much do you think disgraced bicyclist Lance Armstrong thinks about the moon?
I think he thinks about the moon a lot.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Can we?
Yeah, go ahead. Harumph, harumph.
What's wrong, Lance? What's wrong, Lance?
Harumph, harumph.
Why are you harumphing in your bicycle pants?
You know that I've done some wrong, but there's one thing that helps me still live strong. The moon doesn't know I took performance-enhancing drugs. The moon doesn't know my truth. But then tonight I thought, what if it did? What if the moon knows?
I'd say to you, the moon doesn't care if you did steroids.
Really?
The moon doesn't care if you use blood with more oxygen.
Do you think so?
The moon's so far away that our day-to-day, no time soon will it care, the moon.
When I was a young lad, training on my bike,
the moon didn't care about that.
I had one wish when I would ride at night.
What was it?
The echoes of a coach spun around my head, and that simple phrase that he once said, when he said, shoot for the moon, even if you miss, you'll land amongst the stars.
Which is generally strange because the moon is closer than all the stars. But whether you shoot at the moon, and if you hit the moon, or miss the moon out there, at the end of the day, the moon doesn't fucking care. The moon doesn't care.
The moon doesn't know that I miss Sheryl Crow.
The moon doesn't know that I'm obsessed with the band Toto.
The moon doesn't know, it just shines its glow.
What was your relationship with Sheryl Crow?
We dated at
I
my
didn't
peak.
Know that you dated Sheryl Crow. But the moon also didn't know that you dated Sheryl Crow. So lay your head down to rest, and don't worry to and fro.
Thank you, Michael Phelps.
swim away, I'm a big long weirdo.
The famous Michael Phelps catchphrase.
swim away, I'm a big long weirdo.
Please stop running on the pool deck. We're nervous about you.
We're nervous about you. Okay, I have one. This one's from Claire. Thank you, Claire. I, like many sleepy babies, believe Zach and Jess to be perfect. Oops, I read a compliment. Didn't mean to, but I did it. But I'd love to hear about any sort of flaws they might have, with the full understanding that they're still perfect and that flaws aren't really flaws, but I think you know what I mean. Claire, you want us to, you want the
wow.
tea? You want us to say how we're bad humans?
Oh my gosh.
The stuff that we hide from you.
Claire, of course.
Claire, of course we'll air all our dirty laundry right here.
Okay, so I am too competitive.
Is it? I had a thought that was so poisonous and such a bad idea.
What's
which was
naming each other's flaws? Oh my gosh,
geez,
Zach.
Yeah, just a huge diss track.
He laughs menacingly.
I think that's not how, God. Like, I don't think the Wu-Tang Clan has ever done, like, let's just do a, like, rap where we just, like, shit on each other.
Well, I think we should let other people, other people, like, if we're going to do this to other people, we should know what it feels
but
like
Zach,
when we do.
I think you would know that would be the first one I would say about me.
It was, yes.
So
we could list the things that we think, I could list the things that you think are your flaws.
I don't know that I could do the same for
you. No, because I think I'm perfect. Hubris, ego are mine.
I'll do a legit answer on that. Like, fear of failure is like a huge weighing thing, I think. That's a big one. Yeah.
That's not really a flaw though, Scott.
That's human.
Okay, yeah, and I would also like to like comment back on like being afraid of going to the moon or being afraid of heights or like large animals. Like, I'm so mad when people are like, I have a fear of heights. I'm like, yeah, because you'll die if you fall. That's not a fear. That's normal life, man. Yeah,
well,
you'll hear to hear. Like, if you're like 6 inches, is
the
maybe
fear can overtake you from trying things that are worth trying.
Here are some flaws for me. I can be a little bit of a control freak sometimes, particularly with people that I don't know very well. Not as much of a problem with Jessica because I trust her and she's very, very funny.
I was trying to think about that. I was like, I mean, I know you like being in control. in some situations, but you're also good at like acquiescing and not being in control.
But only to people who I trust. And I think, and someone else asked a question about how do Jess and I keep up our creative partnership. And I think that one of the, and I'll try to find that so I can read it later. But one of the huge things is that in this field specifically, like comedy is so subjective that a lot of times Jessica will have an idea that I would never have because we have different brains, and maybe it wouldn't resonate as something that is super funny to me, but because I think she is super funny, I just trust that like the world will think it is funny, and that like just comes from us working together for a very long time. Like a lot of the things that she thinks are super funny, I also like, we have a huge Venn diagram yes. overlap.
And can I speak to that? Because I have worked with Zach, I think, probably like 2 years before Zach, before Jess and I started working together. And I was sort of used to, I was like, oh, I get what Zach's style is. And I did not like recognize Jess's style at first. And then I was like, oh, I don't understand what move you're making right now, but I know you're going to pay it off later. And it is that very fun thing where I'm like, ooh, ooh, I get to like let the trust take hold and not know where I'm going until Jessica tells her like me. I'm like, oh God, cool reveal. It's very fun. And I've loved that.
Thanks, Scott. That's a cool, that's a cool insight. Yeah. Well, let me just go back for a second and say I'm too competitive. That's number one flaw.
I'll do another one. We'll rotate. We'll give you two.
That's my most significant flaw. I mean, I think I can be a perfectionist and I can be controlling as well. And they're all of that comes from like the same sort of...
Too fast. You're too fast at running.
It comes from the same sort of batch of like being sometimes too obsessed with winning. And then I think, yeah, keeping that the partnership question side of it is
I can say just watching from the outside, you two like actually nurture a good friendship and relationship as well as like business partnership. And I think
we have a very healthy working relationship.
Yes.
That allows for us to like be honest with stuff that we like, stuff that we don't like is all brought to the table through the lens of like, but I love and respect you. So like, yes. That's the issue.
I think that also we like the directions that each other pulls us. Like, I like that Zach will make our stuff maybe sometimes a little bit bolder, sometimes a little more high concept. And then I think similarly...
And Jess pulls us away from being like... edgy for the sake of edgy, to make sure that things are like grounded, that they have heart, and that we're not doing like shock humor, which if you listened to my sort of list of comic inspirations.
And there's also, I think, especially now that it's, you know, in its third and a half year, Off Book is a little bit more of a playground where we have like found what an Off Book episode feels like, and we both get to like color in the ways that we like within those lines. Like, this is the time that I get to, you know, flex the side of me that like wishes it was just on Broadway. This is the time that like we can just be more ephemeral and say like this. Now, we recognize that the episodes could be edited, so we try to still have like our heads conscious about what we're putting out there. We're a lot more prescriptive when we're writing something together.
Oh yes.
So I feel you're aware, if your main awareness is like Off Book of the Zach and the Jess relationship, you're hearing us in actually I think our most organically melded, but we still both have our own sandboxes. And then when we're writing, it's sometimes a little bit more of like, hey, I think you need to come around on this idea because otherwise it'll never sell, or I think you need to
just your idea is too weird, they can't all be the highest concept things you've ever thought of in your life.
I mean, I didn't mean for that to feel so specifically you, Zach. I just mean you do the same thing to me where you're like, I think this character needs to make more sense this way, and I'm like, okay, yeah, you're
right. Yes, 100%. I know that also my inclination is when we're writing like an idea to sell, it's like, what if they were all foxes but also it's the Wild West?
Yes, yes, yes.
And which is, you know, the target market for that is just, you know, me and only me. By the way, I found it. It's the question was from Matt, who asked a question about saying he liked our chemistry and wanted to know what the key to a successful creative partnership is. And I think it is, it's, you know, it's honesty and kindness. Everything should be through a lens of kindness when you're working with someone else.
And also just on the practical side, I read Tom Lennon and Ben Grant's book about how to write movies for profit.
Oh, Fun and Profit. It's a great
book. It's a great book. And there's, and I take not that much from it all the time, because it's a lot of like actually really, really savvy industry stuff. But one big like macro note is like, there are two of you, you should work like there are. So Zach and I are big on dividing and conquering in the like whole scape of all the things that we do, which I think is also a way to keep it healthier, because we're not always like hovering over the other one's shoulder.
Can you imagine?
Like,
that would drive me nuts.
So I think that also gives us time to like, okay, I kind of took a pass on this and I feel good about it, and let me send it back to you. And then, yeah, I think...
Yeah, we brainstorm together and then we write separately and then we do passes on each other's works. And I think that's because you should be writing twice as fast if there's two of you.
Yeah, you're splitting the money and glory. So you should be splitting the work and time.
It should be half as much time.
Yeah, that's just a practical thought on partnerships.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
You want to get into some of these KMFs, or as I always knew them, FMKs?
Whoa!
That game has always been Fuck, Marry, Kill for me.
Whoa, wow. Funny.
Scott, yeah. No for you?
This no, is man.
A regional California difference.
Man, if you're going to whisper like a game name to a kid, you do not want to lead with a swear, man. You have to insert that. But, yeah.
Actually, right. No. In your doc, you yep. have neither version. You do not have the version that I do, which is I'm KFM. Kill, Fuck, Marry.
KFM.
One yeah. of these is a band, oh. correct? Right.
It's a radio station for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's do Whitney's.
Okay. Whitney gives us Taco Bell, 7-Eleven, Jamba Juice.
I really like that.
Thank you, Whitney.
I like that. Also, someone went outside the box and gave us a would you rather.
yes, I did notice that too. I was like, I don't want to do this. I want to do. Would
I appreciate
you rather.
It.
I mean, I have a very easy answer for this.
Go like, for it, bud.
Yeah, kill Jamba Juice. It's lied to me enough times. Fuck 7-Eleven, because like it's kind of always been my casual go to. I've walked to far too many of them in my life. And then Mary,
Taco Bell.
Taco Bell, unfortunately. But, you know, it's meals, and that's
okay,
what you need.
This is wild. I think that I'm going to have the same answer as Scott, but with different okay. reasoning. I agree. Okay. I think Jamba Juice is a bit of a sham. Get it out of here. And then I think those smoothies are not good for you. They have now, I feel like they've done a better job expanding their menu. So Modern Jamba has a little bit more of a better offering, but
MJJ.
That's MJJ has some better offerings, but that is a masquerading health store. So no thank you. And I think I'm going to marry Taco Bell because I legitimately love it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to fuck 7-Eleven because you ready for this? It's open 24/7.
Yeah, we're all unanimous here. You kill Jamba Juice, you marry Taco Bell, you fuck 7-Eleven.
Nice.
7-Eleven, you dip in. It's got some fun stuff there.
Yeah.
Will I stay there for a long time? Absolutely not. I have deep concerns about a lot of parts of it, but not so much whereas Jamba Juice, which is a straight up liar.
It's a liar.
It's a huge red flag.
Can't have liars.
And I do love Taco Bell deeply and consistently over my life.
I like this quick question from Josh.
Yeah.
Karate Bird. Is it a Big Bird situation or is Karate Bird just a regular bird that knows karate? Give me that deep lore.
Well, I would posit, Josh, that a regular bird that knows karate is in fact not a regular bird. So, but starting there, I will tell you that we know we have more questions about Karate Bird than we have answers.
I'm so sorry. I do need to stop you. I think that that means that we are legally obligated to attempt to play the Carl Tart Questions rap song about Karate Bird.
Okay.
All right, shout out to Carl Tart and E40, the original bringers of this glory.
Everybody has questions about specifically Karate Bird.
So, is he a big bird?
Yes.
Can he fly in the sky?
Yes.
Is he also many birds?
Yes.
Do we get to know why?
No. Does he have feet?
Yes.
Does he kick really fast?
Yes.
Does he hide in the sea?
No.
Can he kick your ass?
Yes. Does he have other friends?
Yes.
Do they pass the torch?
No.
Will he sip lemonade?
Nope.
Can he come to your porch?
Yes. Does he play the guitar?
No.
Can he karate chop very far?
Yes.
Can he jump over the moon?
No.
Will he show up at your house soon?
Yes. Is he working on the moon?
No.
He doesn't have that goal?
No.
When was the first Karate Bird? Will we ever be told?
No. Does he have feathers?
Yes.
Do many Karate Birds work together?
No.
Is there only one?
At a time.
Is it extremely fun?
Yes.
Okay, so it's like the Highlander?
Yes.
In that there could only be one?
Yes.
And does he know karate?
Yes.
And can he jump over the sun?
No. Can he jump really high?
Yes.
Can he leave the atmosphere?
No.
Will he ever get to that point?
Maybe.
Is that future clear?
No. Does he have rocket boots?
No.
If he did, could he jump higher?
Yes.
Is he afraid of technology?
No.
Specifically the one that catches fire?
No. Does he have other pastimes?
No.
Hobbies? No. Does he have a family?
Yes.
Where did he come from, though?
We don't know. Does he do flips?
Yes.
Does he do punches and kicks?
Yes.
Does he do karate tricks?
Yes.
Does he make a house out of bricks?
No. Does he ever sleep?
Yes.
He is a sleepy baby?
No.
Does he know about us?
Yes.
But also only maybe.
Yeah. Like, does he subscribe?
No.
Dip in once in a while.
Yes.
More really our friends.
Yes.
Incredible karate style?
Yes. Where did he train? Did it come into his brain?
Yes.
Did he enter a dojo?
Yes.
Are there more things he knows, though?
Yes. Does he know kung fu?
Yes.
But does he prefer karate?
Yes.
What about taekwondo?
Only a little bit when he's feeling naughty.
Karate Bird! More questions than answers!
His worms?
No.
He eats them plain?
Yes.
Does he eat anything else?
Yes.
What other things can you name?
Grains. He loves to eat rice?
Yes.
And lots of other Japanese food?
Yes.
Is he Japanese?
Yes.
It's Karate Bird. That's right.
Yes. I said yes.
Yes.
Now it's canon, and it can't be second guessed.
Karate Bird is Japanese.
Yes.
Karate is a Japanese martial art.
Yes.
Do other people also know karate?
Yes.
But he happens to be Japanese.
Yes.
Is Karate Bird male?
Yes.
This one is.
But there have been others back in the long history in biz.
Does one Karate Bird kill another Karate Bird, or do they just pass the torch?
They pass the torch or become reincarnated like the Dalai Lama.
Wow. Okay. That's great news.
That is good to know, and it can never be refused. Karate Bird!
Karate Bird! More questions than answers.
More questions than answers.
Karate Bear.
Karate Bear.
More questions than answers. Karate Bear. Was that useful?
I say yes.
I say yes.
Was it perfect? I say yes.
Was it all canon until we decide it wasn't? Yeah.
Yeah.
Andre in Norway asks, if you were gladiators on American Gladiators, who are all pretty nice and competition always looked friendly, what would you want your gladiator names to be?
Oh my gosh, I love that.
Now, I love Andre has also told us where they are writing from. And yeah. I love that it rhymes. So in the future, if y'all want to do that, I like that.
We like that.
Are either of you familiar with American Gladiators?
I mean, really yeah.
There yeah, was I used to watch it.
Absolutely.
What are some of their names?
Like Blaze.
Turbo, Laser.
Ice,
they were
Challenger.
Really, yeah.
Cannon Arms. I don't know.
Wait, I think that's...
Good.
Somewhere between a car name and like a human's name, I think
okay,
is generally...
Mine is going to be Gerald Ford Fiesta. Is that good?
No, that's not exactly. Right? I should take that metaphor back. That's good.
Yeah, I really like our gladiator names having a before and after category on Jeopardy aspect.
I would
yeah,
be
known for their clever names, American Gladiators. That's...
Reginald Eclipse.
Reginald Eclipse. They're usually one word, Zach.
Okay. I can't be Reginald Eclipse.
Yeah, I think you have like a three-syllable maximum.
But I think I need you all to help me because this is not my sort of realm of expertise.
I'll put it to you this way. If you couldn't chant it simply in a crowd, you're not going to pass as an American
Gladiator. It's hard
gladiator.
To chant Reginald Eclipse.
Reginald yeah. Eclipse doesn't have quite the bounce you need, yeah. I think three or four syllables is like the max for a gladiator, which is
okay.
odd for a four-syllable title.
What about Hibiscus? Is that good?
Sure. Hibiscus. Hibiscus.
I don't think I want that one.
No.
I'll keep thinking.
Okay. Also, I always used to think that the little baton things that staffs that they fought with looked like Q-tips.
I always liked names like Vector, ones where you're like, it sounds good, and I don't know what that means. So
Radius.
I'm going to assume
Apex.
That, yeah. There. I'm gonna assume Vector hasn't been taken, and I'm going to go with
pretty good.
It
Vector's
sounds good.
Good.
Yeah.
Vector's good. I'm going to go...
I will claim victory. There,
I'm
see?
Gonna,
it's written itself.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Right. I'm going to go with... Spark!
Does it have the exclamation? Because it...
Of course.
Excellent. I love it.
I'm going to go with... Rotunda!
Ah!
Very good.
I would buy that SUV so quickly.
Andre has a couple other follow-up questions, but... that I feel like, Andre, we can't fully get into, but I do want to answer this last one.
Yeah, the last one we can for sure.
If you could, and by can't fully get into just for time constraints.
I mean, refuse to.
It's if you could safely or humanely hug one scary animal, crocodile, lion, polar bear, what animal would you hug? And I'm going to go with bear for sure. I don't know what type of bear, but I... would love to hug a bear, except right here they smell bad. But
well, they don't wash a lot. They only wash in rivers and with no soap.
No soap for a polar bear.
Jess, I'm gonna go with you on bear. I would go specifically panda bear, even though like people know, like I guess they're bears, but they seem sort of cuddly. But they're definitely not, and they're dangerous. And I would love for it to just be like, let's fully remove all the danger.
Hugging a panda bear, yeah. I do think might be the correct answer.
I want to hug a snow leopard. They're
That's
the
a good
big,
one
big
too.
Fluffy cats. And I love them very much.
No soap for a polar bear.
Yeah, okay, we get it. Yeah. Scott played no soap for a polar bear. There's no
and
cats
the
in America. There's no soap for a polar bear, and the streets are also soap.
Yeah.
Want is a bar of soap, but all I have is a bottle of Coke.
I am the very model of a dirty, dirty polar bear.
Wait, this is fun, actually.
Okay.
Okay.
New segment that Jess made up just now.
It's called This Is Fun, Actually.
Okay.
And
fun
Scott.
Actually is all around us.
I feel it in my fingers. I feel it in my toes. Scott, I want you to... play for us and shift like you just did and see if we can modulate. But you can actually know what song you're playing. You can play real songs.
About the soap polar bear.
Or we'll still about silly things, but we'll try to, with our lyrics, make it clear that we know what you've shifted to. Does that make sense?
That is, yes, I will accept your challenge. And if I do some sort of thing...
And 76 a bunch dirty of penguins.
We're going to have to take turns, or this is going to be a nightmare.
76 polar bears walking out for soap.
With 110 penguins right behind.
And they are looking for that soap the lake we find.
And there is no soap there.
Yeah, I do know this. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Gone down just a spoonful of polar bears. The soap real clean. The polar bears real clean. Polar bears real clean. Just a spoonful of soap. When I'm in the wrong key, that's what polar bears need. Got it. One singular soap bar. Every little step he scrubs.
Polar bear covered in soap.
One a little bit of soap bar underneath where it rubs.
One smile and suddenly no polar bear will do. Next one. Mama,
soaked a bear.
It was a dirty freaking bear. So much dirt up in his hair.
Mama, soap was just for fun.
And now I'll have to wash that soap away.
This is so fun to watch, Scott. Scott is a brilliant man right now.
Scott is like trying to pull other songs that he
and he's trying to like transpose into them, which is incredible.
Hey bears, get covered in soap, 'cause you're dirty and need to get cleaned off.
And the minute you let us soap on your skin, then you begin to start smelling better, 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 better. Na na na, clean up the bears, clean up the bears, hey bears. Na na na, clean up those bears.
One is killing me.
It was the start of Little Shop of Horrors, but
that's
in the
what
wrong
I thought.
Key, and I figured that's a good place to end it.
Oh my gosh.
Little
that's
shop,
hard.
Yeah. Little Shop of Pears to get their soap. But guys, it was really fun, actually.
I would like to spend a day on Broadway going to different polar bear themed shows if it was just that.
This is a good transition to a question that got asked very early on. This question is from Chloe. Hi, Zach and Jess, longtime listener, lover of musical improv, Animal Crossing confidant. Thanks, Chloe. Etc. You two are great. Thanks for making so much delightful content. Oh, no, I read a compliment. My question is, what are your favorite musical theater songs to sing? Thanks.
Oh, I did see this question, and I do love it. Okay, mine is an easy one, and I don't think Scott has learned it yet, even though we talk about it all the time. It's Being Alive from Company, and he still doesn't know it.
Oh, yeah. I have not learned that very, very complicated, like, difficult song by Sondheim, and I would love to learn all the Sondheim songs one day.
Are you being sarcastic? Because I think it's actually not that difficult.
Is it not? I actually just have, like, completely, like, ignored the fact that any Sondheim song is easy
to learn. It is a simpler
song. It's a pretty simple song.
A simpler Sondheim song.
A simpler Sondheim song. I mean...
Fair.
It's pretty easy. I mean, I think it is easy. I have no idea. It probably is not, actually. But it's not like a lyrically dense, insanely, with a ton of ornamentation. It's pretty like...
Yeah.
Dun, 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 somebody hold me too close. Somebody hurt me too deep. I mean, he knows how to bring it down and get to the core when
he's breaking it down. Sometimes breaking it. Steven's breaking it down.
I have a question for you. Why do you know Company so well? Have you watched it multiple times?
I was in Company when I was a sophomore in college.
That is why it is living in a place
for
you.
My favorite.
And I unfortunately have not been exposed to it nearly as much. So that is also information I didn't know. I didn't know that you had been in Company.
And for you Company heads out there, I was April. Okay, that was April. And for those of you who don't know, Company is a non-linear musical about Bobby having a surprise 35th birthday, and everyone else in his life are married couples or about to be married couples, and it's about him finally opening himself up to be vulnerable, and it's told through comedic vignettes and songs with him and each of the couples and three girlfriends, and April is one of the girlfriends. Well, really, she's basically just a one-night stand or like a hookup buddy. She's a flight attendant, and when she's like in town, but she basically has a really long monologue about a butterfly, which was very fun. And we, in the version that we did, we had there's a song that sometimes cut that's just like a dance number, and our Kathy was a good dancer, so we put it in, and it's while April and Bobby are having sex, and I did have to be in my underwear on stage, and
ooh-la-loo.
And my parents came out and saw it, and it was very like, hello, I'm in college. Here I am in my underwear.
It's always that college theater moment of everyone is like in front of their parents, but also doing like a sexy scene for the first time. We've all been there.
Now, ours was like a imaginative dance one where we were never actually, we kissed a little bit and then we get like pulled apart in the dance. But I had to still be like, you feel so good. Oh, you know, like, yeah.
Hard to do in front of the fam.
Hard to do in front of the fam.
I did I was in a repertory production of The Producers. And for those of you that are familiar with the song Keep It Gay, there's just like this parade of men in this. And one of them is a waiter whose name is Sabu. And I was basically just like had a like slit skirt with my ass hanging out. And that was in front of 600 people every night for a whole summer.
You love hanging your ass out.
That is true. It's something I do all the time. You know me well.
Watch Bruce Brothers on Netflix. It's
my one comic sort of move that I have. I like to do it in an audition, just sort of like let people know.
I don't want to be naked in TV and film, but I do. And it happens so rarely that I'm even like could go out for a part where it's required. Right. But it's always... a very funny, like I have it as like a hard line with our managers, and so they know there are things that they just don't even submit me for. But sometimes when it's like that middle area where they're like, okay, this part requires
butts only,
and I'm like, butts only is fine.
That's where my line is too.
Yeah, butts only and simulate sex for sure, but can I have a bra on? But then when I did Party Over Here, we had this sketch that was just about Nicole Byer tricking me and Allison Rich into being full naked at a spa, but then she doesn't do it. We all drop our towels at the same time, and only Allison and I are naked, and then she laughs at our little bodies. And... and for that to happen, we had to be in very slim, like our color underwear and then just pasties over your nipples, and you are like, this
this is nudity.
This is nothing.
The things that film sets do to, like, quote unquote, cover up the actors that they're trying to show are nude are laughable.
I have to say also, they do the sweet thing where they, like, limit the set so it's only the essential people are there. And they're, like, running you out a towel between every single setup. And you're like, this is taking more time. And you get to a point after, like, two setups where you're just standing there. Because you're like, it doesn't matter. But you do get to a point where you're like, you are just seeing my breast shape. So I don't know what I think.
What am I hiding here with
these stickers? Hiding with this sticker. I don't
really
care.
Like, there's only so many times you can have someone rush in and cover you up before it. Yeah. Like, the urgency, I think, starts feeling a little.
It's like, what are we covering the third time?
And it's like, I don't care that these 10 people making this show with me see me naked, really. I just don't want it to be, like, permanently in the world. So I'm like, I'll be naked on set if that's not what's being shot. But it is very funny.
For dudes, they have this, like, I think the
sock,
the cock sock or whatever, that is like a literal, it's like a sock, but it's skin colored and it, like, cinches around all your biz. Sometimes it's attached to, like, a like plastic waistband that is clear and goes all the way around to hold it up. Sometimes it's not, and it just, like, cinches in the front. But I will say that the first three things that they gave me for Bruise Brothers all, were just, like, first of all, they're all rented from, like, warehouse and stuff, so they're all, they've been worn by, like, 100 people, and it's, like, it's a little gross. So at a certain point, I was just like, you know what, just watch where the camera is. I'm just not gonna wear anything. Just only shoot my butt, and we'll be fine. Yeah. And then we were.
That's, rented cock sock. That's the most disgusting thing I've ever
heard. it's a bad sentence. My musical is Beauty and the Beast. I sing songs from that all the time. Specifically, the Beast song has this song called If I Can't Love Her that is not in the animated musical but is in the stage musical. That's, like, very pretty.
That's a good one. I love singing along to All Company, and when I first got the Dear Evan Hansen album, I think for 2 days straight just sang Waving Through the Window over
it's
and over
great.
Even
it's
though
great
it's exactly where I can't do it because it's, like, male octave high.
Oh.
Especially, like, if it's best if I sing it low because of how high he ultimately goes.
An octave up would be wild.
Well, I can for a lot of it. And then all this, I'm sorry. But then it gets to a point where you're like, I can't. But when I stay at his octave, the when you're falling in a forest is so low. Nobody, when it first starts, falling in a forest and there's nobody around. Does it ever really count or even make a sound? When you're falling in a forest, nobody around. Does it ever really crash or even make a sound? Did I even make a sound? Did I even make a sound? It's like I never made a sound. Will I ever make a sound? I love doing that in the car.
That's such a good rise.
It's a brute force key change. Yeah. It's great.
Outside, always looking in. Will I? Oh, I love that. There's also, I didn't listen to much of Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet, but there's a song that got added when they moved to Broadway called Dust and Ashes that Josh Groban sings that, it's really, really good.
That dude can sing.
Yeah,
you
he
know?
Can sing. And also, I love singing along to, I love musical theater songs that have movements, and that song has that, where, like,
They got sections.
Yeah. There's it's like 6 minutes and it returns lyrically and thematically and with motifs, but, like, it's very, very satisfying.
Yeah. That's for me, like, the entire soundtrack of Ragtime. I'm like, just pour it on me, like, honey, all day long.
One coming from America.
Yeah.
Jack DeSena sings that song all the time.
Oh, good for him. Shout out to Jack DeSena.
Shout out to Jack DeSena. Do you know Jack DeSena, Sleepy Babies? You should look up the sketch duo Chris and Jack.
If you've watched Avatar: The Last Airbender, he's also the voice of Sokka. He was
on all that as a child.
Jack is rad.
He's so rad, and that sketch duo is
they're very, very funny.
Very,
Jess,
very
you're
good.
In a couple of those sketches.
I'm in a few which are they're always really fun. Like, they make great stuff. You know, they're really just doing it themselves, and they get a lot of, like, they, like, win streamies and stuff. They both, like, direct really well. Their web sketches are made at a very high level with just, you know,
considering it's just the two of them.
Yeah, they get like VFX, and they really lean into genre in a way that's fun. So check out, I'm just apropos of nothing, check out Chris and Jack.
I'm going to sort of rattle off a couple of these real quick, although I think we're getting to the point where we got to wrap this
up. Yeah, we got to wrap this up. Let's do a couple quick ones.
Mark asked, any chance that a previously recorded fan favorite song can be offered as an MP3? Yes. Subscribe to our upcoming things that we are having that we will tell you more about later.
Next episode we'll really say exactly, because that'll be our last.
That'll be the last one. We'll have to.
We'll have to. We'll have no more time to be like, well, let's be clear. We're going to launch with a system that we think is exciting and great, but we also, not the best,
We'll change it.
But yes, we know that Breakout MP3s is a big part of what y'all would like, and we're excited to try to make that happen.
John asks, a recent fan fell in love with you guys immediately, you and Magic Tavern. Thank you so much. The reason that he got Stitcher Premium, with the show leaving Earwolf, does that mean your relationship and content on Stitcher Premium will end as well? New stuff? Yes. Existing stuff? No, it should still be there. I'm having a weird issue with the Stitcher player right now. It should be back on there soon, but it is not currently. Sorry, working on that. Don't know what happened. No one's been able to tell me so far.
Thank you for these questions. If you didn't hear your question answered this week, guess what? You might hear it next week.
Maybe next week. We don't know what we're doing next week. We'll probably answer some more questions. We'll do some more songs. Lounge January will continue. We will give the 100% full breakdown of what everything is. And we'll probably release that in like a smaller bonus, like 7-minute thing too, just to break it down.
And one day.
Was that it?
Yeah. No, but I mean, like, it was a resonant cousin.
Yeah, I echoed what you did.
Wait, you want to do something, Zach?
Can we do something as we say goodbye?
Yeah.
But I'm just tell everyone right now, I'm going to heavily auto-tune whatever we do next.
Oh, fun.
This one's called Fun with Filters. This is our auto-tune going away song for this episode.
Great.
That we're giving to you. And then we end with a clever rhyme.
But first we have to say, oh no, I can't believe it happened again. We were brought to you by Woodbert the Wooden Frog. I wish we could listen to them.
We don't know what's on that wood frog makes, but we will find out for you if it takes us to our dying day.
And now as we say
at the end of every episode of Off the Hook,
if you have some extra
you're gonna be a polar bear's best and last hope. Bye.
Bye-bye.
How powerful is Cox Internet? Powerful enough to let your band members in Vegas, Phoenix, and Rhode Island jam like you're all in the same garage. Get gig speeds powered by fiber from Cox. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, always building better. Download speeds up to 1 gigabit per second. Cox Internet is connected to the premises via coaxial connection. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms and other restrictions may apply.